Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of In the Chains. We are your favorite disc golf podcast, bringing you the latest from the disc golf world, including news, tournaments, and all things disc golf. My name is Dennis, and I'm everybody's favorite American. Well, at least 37% of y'all. And with me are my two favorite former European Union members, the Prince John to my Robin Hood, Bowen and Duffy. Robin Hood.
Good evening.
Sherwood Forth.
Yeah, was he fictitious? Was he fictitious? I don't know.
Robin Hood? I don't know. I'm not from this country.
I don't know either, but I'm guessing it's probably an amalgamation of different sort of legends, I would have thought. Yeah.
I mean, I know this Nottingham is a real place and Sherwood Forest is a place.
No, not Nottingham's.
Not a real place.
Not Nottingham.
It doesn't exist.
It's like Camelot. It's quite a silly place.
Welcome to History 101.
Bowen didn't get that.
But no, I didn't. What was
but
it?
Our listeners Monty did, and they're laughing on the inside.
Okay, there we go.
We want them to laugh on the outside, though.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're back for another installment of everybody's favorite podcast. And like always, let's talk about what we did over the past week. It's been kind of a busy weekend for us. And a busy week for me. So I'll start because I want to share the good news. I bought a new car. Not that anybody cares, but my old car blew up and now I have a new car and I'm very happy with it.
He bought a Lada.
Bought a Lada. It's like you won't even know what a Lada is.
I don't. Is that like a Clio or a...
Well, there used to be a joke at school. What do you call a larder with a sunroof? A skip.
It's an old Eastern Bloc car that terrible, really. But
I think it's Czech Republic, I think, when it was made.
I think you guys just leave the bad jokes to me because...
Do you want to tell us what you bought then, Dennis? Or do you want to keep that a secret for everyone?
Hell no, I'm not putting that out into the world. I'm going to come back from playing around. I'm going to have a scratch in my car. Or some guy, putting a sign that says, hey, you suck at podcasting. Stop.
Yeah, we already know what you drive. So, I mean, it'd be a bit obvious if we did that now. We have talked about it, though, haven't we?
But, yeah, we have.
But I the only reason why I bring that up is because Friday, the three of us took a trip in my new car to a far-off wonderful land.
Yes, it was. And I try and avoid going there at all costs, really, but it was worth it, I think.
I think it was definitely worth it. So for those of you guys that don't know, the three of us, we took a trip to Wales and we went to Ben and Jerry's, Del and Gary, and we had one of the most amazing trips that I think I've had in a long time. Like, it was epic, in my opinion. What did you guys think about it?
I thought the course was lovely. The company left a bit to be desired, and it was, but overall, very good.
And I thought that I didn't realise that you two couldn't drink because you two were like giggling like schoolgirls on the second round.
I knew that would come up
after one point.
Says the guy, man, you know what? We don't want to have that discussion.
No, let's have it. Go on, tell us.
I do want to have this discussion. Go on, Dennis.
I feel personally that I can outdrink any one of you two and anybody who's up to challenge.
Oh my God. After having one point and you declaring you're a little bit tipsy, I tend to disagree.
I hadn't eaten all day.
At the altitude as well.
I haven't drank in months because I don't drink at home. I'm not a person that drinks at the house. I'm only a social drinker. But I can hold my alcohol. But yeah, so
he can get very aggressive once he's had a drink there.
Very aggressive.
His personality just flips.
Yeah, right. No, but it was the course was great. The company was good. Alan, the owner, was amazing. He was showing us the course and explaining what they're doing with working with DGUK on the 6 new holes that they're putting in. And then we had a beer for lunch. And then, of course, they fed us for dinner. They have a wood pizza oven and made us some pizzas and some french fries. And that was really good. Like, that pizza was delicious. So it's
there were chips, but
yeah,
chips and french fries are interchangeable, they're the same thing.
No, they're not. French fries.
Chips are chunkier.
No, chips are the things in the tube that we ate after we had beers and we were a little tipsy.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you can't call Pringles crisps either, so I'd sort of semi agree with you on that one.
So, but yeah, we went out, and how many rounds did we end up playing, like 4 or 5?
Yeah, four, definitely.
Yeah. So it was a long day with the traveling down there and traveling back all on the same day, but it was very enjoyable. Like you said, if I could afford it, I would I'd definitely go down and stop in one of those the big tent things that they've got there as well.
Oh, they look beautiful. Really cool
with the hot tubs and the barbecues, the disc golf on tap. The pizza oven, the bar just around the corner.
The scenery being in that valley, the luscious green, the river that runs through the middle of the property. It's just the most amazing thing.
How nice were the river holes as well? So you've got the signature one, which is amazing. Then you've got the one where you can go to the left or the right, which we'll probably talk about in a bit. I'm not going to say anything, but a disc was lost. And then you've got the one that's actually on the riverbank that you've got to shoot right across the river. They're all amazing, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like all the holes, even the ones that aren't by the river, you know, they may look simple, but there's some difficulty to them. You really have to think about what you want to do. It was a good mixture of par threes, par fours. I can't just praise a place. I think that sends the wrong message. If I had any critique, it would be that some of the tee pads were a little rocky, and by rocky there was some gravel. I do know we threw a couple places where we lost our footing. I think that would be my only critique of the course, would be that I think a little work needs to go into the actual tee pads, not all of them, but a couple of them.
I would definitely agree. I don't throw with a run up, so I didn't find it too much of an issue. But you guys, in a few places, you did sort of slip as you sort of releasing the disc and things. But
if you fall off that elevated tee, you're going to drop a fair bit, aren't you? If you slide on the gravel,
it's like a good 10-foot drop.
Yeah, but I thought it was good all round course.
No, it was a great course. Beautiful. We had, I think, some of the best weather I've seen in a few months. So we got really lucky with that.
When we was having a beer at lunch, we sat outside in the patio, and I thought it could have been in Spain or somewhere like that. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Gorgeous. It was like the perfect day trip. Like you said, it was a long, long day. For me, I got up at 4:30 in the morning, went and picked you guys up. Then we drove to Wales. Then I dropped you guys off, and I didn't make it home until midnight.
Yeah, I was about.
It was a long day.
It was a long day, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I could.
Yeah. I don't know if we're allowed to say this on the podcast, but when we was talking to Alan, he was eyeing up some type of tournament down there towards the end of the season, which I'd definitely be up for going to and playing.
The Ben and Jerry Classic.
The Ben and Jerry Classic. Oh my God, that's what he needs to call it. The Ben and Jerry Classic at Felingary. Perfect.
Me and Bowen said we'd camp. It would be brilliant to camp. And Dennis was like, "Oh, I'll just get a B&B somewhere."
Well, yeah, I'm a high class hoe. Didn't you know that? High class. Sleep on the ground? Are you kidding me?
High class something.
No, but that's the whole reason why we went, right? So we wanted to, we've been talking about Phil and Gary, and Bowen's been mentioning it in the news, so we wanted to go out and see it. Especially, we wanted to look at the six new holes that were being put in. Unfortunately, they're still not ready. There's still a little bit of work to do. However, now that we've seen it and realized that it's on this massive hill, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Yeah. It's hard work. So Alan and his crew over the next few weeks and couple months is going to keep on working through that. And once that's done, to have this competition out there, it's going to be absolutely amazing. So for everybody who kind of wants to know what we're talking about and wants to visually see it, pause this podcast, go to our YouTube channel, because we had a fly. We did a fly through of the course, which turned out really well. And so then you can kind of see what the podcast or what the course looks like, and you'll know what we're talking about, especially here in a few minutes. And then come back to us and finish the podcast.
And we also filmed our first ever YouTube round. I don't really know what it's called. It's not really a vlog, is it? It's
not a vlog. Like
a fun round that follows on from the podcast a little bit.
Yeah, it's like the visual follow on to last week's podcast. So everybody knows who listens that last week we did the fantasy draft of discs, and we ended up playing around. Actually, I don't really want to spoil it on here. I want you guys to go to the YouTube channel, watch our video. Let us know what you think. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, if we can do something to improve it. We want to start putting out some fun videos, basically show you that we are the same people in real life that we are on the podcast. So we're going to sit there, play some disc golf really poorly, but also talk shit to each other the whole time. And Bowen's making weird gestures at us. You got to watch the video. I think it's
just doing an impression of Duffy. Sorry.
The listeners can't see you. And they, even if they could, they have no idea because they haven't watched the video yet.
I was trying to put you off, Dennis, because you two are insistent on putting me off whenever I'm talking.
Yeah, well, it's because you interrupt.
Can I just say as well, just for sort of reference, because it wasn't referenced in the video itself, I do hold the course record for us three as well there. So that's another one.
No, you don't.
Tag onto the ballot.
No, you don't. Plus one. No, you don't.
You and I are tied.
Plus one.
When did you shoot plus one?
The last round when I beat you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, because the video says I tied it with a plus three when I used other people's discs.
Yeah, but then we played after that, didn't we?
And we did. Well,
that round doesn't count.
I was at a disadvantage.
The one that I would doesn't count.
Well, no, at a disadvantage because somebody, and I'm not going to name names, threw my favorite disc, my go-to disc, into the river, and we could not find it.
Let's name names. Let's name names, Dennis.
Okay. Well, it wasn't me. And it wasn't me. Bowen. So that only leaves one person.
Yeah, I was the only one brave enough to take on the gap.
Yeah, with someone else's disc?
With somebody else's disc. Now, I am going to put a little blame on Bowen, because he niced the disc as it was flying through the air, and it was going to make the gap until he said, good shot, and all of a sudden it just picked up and hit a tree and fell right into the middle of the river.
It was almost instantaneous.
My breath coming out changed the flight path of that disc, didn't it?
Mate, it was almost instantaneous of him saying, nice, to it hitting the tree and falling into the deepest part of the river.
Yeah, the deepest part.
Let me just say, if you two like put some effort into this disc golf, go to the gym, beef up a bit, you might be able to throw a thumber over the trees like
I can. I was about to say, even though we lost the disc on that hole, Bowen threw the most amazing thumber. We got it on camera.
He's saying to us about if we beefed up, if we did this, says the person who 10 minutes into the journey down there says, I forgot my elbow support.
That's true. He did say that.
Did I play without it? Absolutely fine, yes.
What a hero. But, yeah, so somebody...
No, stop there, because Dennis was just talking about my summer. Let's hear about it, Dennis.
Oh, no, I'm not. That's all the press I'm giving you.
You did? No, but Duffy cut you off. We need to hear it.
I said that thumber was one of the best shots of the day. It wasn't the best shot, but it was one of the best shots of the day. You cleared the trees. You parked it. I still don't think you made the birdie. But
no, I missed the putt.
Of course you missed the putt. But yeah, no, it was a great thumber. I don't have a shoulder, so I could never do that. It was a really good shot. Actually, overall, Bowen, you played great.
That's what out of my skin.
For the whole, it wasn't just like one round flute.
No,
you played really good the whole day.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I said it to you off air, haven't I? But I thought, I mean, you had a few bad shots which were fortunately recorded into the video that we put out. But on the whole, I thought you took a big step forward in my opinion.
What I felt like at Felingerry, yes, there were some shots that gave you no mercy, but equally there were other parts where you had nice wide fairways. So if you were a bit off with your line or you did throw a bad shot, you could recover it on some holes. Other holes you were screwed though.
Yeah.
Is Dennis still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm letting you talk.
It's all right. I've had patchy network and your screen froze, so I couldn't work out whether I was talking to myself or not.
I know I'm the face of the podcast, but sometimes I got to let you guys talk.
Come back, Dennis. Dennis, please come back.
Right, we're getting off on a tangent.
We are. No, it was a...
What did anyone get up to?
Well, can we not talk about the most specialist thing that happened?
Oh, yes. Let's go there.
So,
Dennis is pregnant. I'll tell you what, I looked pregnant in that video.
Oh, my God. I was ashamed. I need to lose some weight. Yeah. Again, we're on a tangent, but damn. So we get there. We talk to Alan. We kind of walk around the course and then just kind of see what the layout is and get the lay of the land. And then we play the family course that they have, right? Just this nice 9-hole family, easy. I don't want to call it a short course, but it is. It is what it is. But I finally was able to score an ace. And I'm the first one to do it out of the three of us.
When? The weekend.
Yeah, you were there.
I'm gutted because I was looking at the floor when you did it, so I missed the moment.
I didn't see it either, Dennis, Bowen.
Oh, shut up.
No, I know you did.
I've said something nice on Instagram on the post. That's as much praise as you're getting out of me.
Yeah.
And Dennis, I'm genuinely gutted because I was looking at the floor when it went in and I couldn't believe it. Like, I was genuinely gutted.
I got to say, I'm kind of glad you were looking at the floor, because if you were looking at the disc, you would have said nice. And
nice. A sudden gust of wind would have blown it.
Yeah, exactly. Off course.
Who called it halfway, though, Dennis?
Oh, Duffy saw it halfway. He was like, oh, that's going in. And sure enough, it was center of the basket, center of the chains, dropped in. So it was only, I mean, it was a short par three, 60, 65 meters, maybe less. I don't know.
I don't think that matters. I think any shot from outside 30 meters is a great shot. Any shot outside 10 meters for me.
So the disc went in. I did my Raptor legs. I ran all the way there to get it. I was really tired when I got to the basket.
Absolutely blowing when you got back.
and then yeah, so now that was with my jawbreaker zone, my beat in zone. And I always told myself, if I ever get an ace, especially the first ace, that disc will be retired. So I can't play with that disc. So technically, I lost two discs on Friday.
Two of your favorite ones?
Two of my go-to discs. You know what? That's okay. I'll take that. The boys signed it. And they both lost $20 apiece to me, since I'm the first of the three of us to get an ace. So.
£20, or I said, I'll grab the fuel for you, Dennis. And he screwed me for like £56.
Well, yeah, that's 20 that you owed me for the ace, and then 30 for getting the gas. So thanks, man.
He's forgetting losing another disc as well. You lost the Undertaker.
Who's Undertaker? Oh, Dennis. Yeah, Dennis, you lost an Undertaker as well.
Oh, shit. Last round. I lost 3 discs.
I've got some great news for you, though, Dennis.
Hey, if anybody who's listening to this owns a disc golf store and wants to send me some Undertakers and some Jawbreaker Zones, I'll be forever grateful.
Dennis, stop interrupting because I've got some great news for you. I've been searching all weekend, high and low, and nowhere has a Vulture in stock.
I know that no one has a Vulture in stock. I think I grabbed the last 2 Vultures off of DG UK when I realized that I really liked my red Vulture, and I'd be gutted if I lost it, so I need to buy some.
There you go. So you've got some whinging on that?
But they're not the same because they're not. Why buy them as a backup
if they're not the same?
Because I bought different plastics and different weights. And just, you know what? Leave me alone.
It's all in your head.
Congratulations for the ace, anyway.
So that was the weekend. We did the Felengarry thing, had a blast, got an ace, filmed a video, had a good time.
I beat Dennis on 1 round.
Well, yes, because I had one of the worst rounds of my life.
And I had one of the best.
and I was sober. I didn't really start playing really well until after I started drinking.
He did beat you fair and square, though. It wasn't...
That was a straight-up round. But you know what I learned? I learned... Because I beat you guys when we on our film round.
Yeah.
So I'm actually... For those that are listening, I'm gonna bag discs that aren't Discraft. I have put a Casaplast CAC Z in my bag. I didn't tell you guys. I played today, the day that we're recording this, and my Chris Clemens signature disc is going in my bag.
It's amazing. It's such a good throwing disc.
It goes straight until it doesn't go straight.
Yeah.
Is it a verdict?
It is. It's got this, mine has some weird, it's like a Lucid X Glimmer Verdict.
Yeah.
Chris Clemens, Clemenade signature disc. Like, it's a lot to say.
I wanted it's to such put it in. Nice if it wasn't for the fact that I'm keeping it sort of special, I would, I'd definitely bag it. And I'm thinking I'll probably get a non-signature version at some point to put in the bag.
Yeah, so that those are going to my bag. I have an MVP Trace in my bag. And, of course, I have a Tilt. So I think there might be some new other things coming in there eventually. But
What about the Sensei as a throwing putter?
No, because I have my zones. Because I have my understable zone.
I think you need a Lunar in Big C as well. Because that's such a great disc.
I don't know. We'll see.
Sorry for interrupting. Can I just move on from this point? Just because I'm worried that this might conflict with Duffy's question.
Oh, okay.
So we'll move on from this point. That they don't actually know what my question's going to be before it's asked.
I don't. We haven't had Duffy's question in a long time. So let's move on. Bowen. Let's talk about the news.
Can I just say, I'm going to get in the shit if I don't mention it. Thank you for coming out with me on Sunday, Charlotte. We brought a new player to the game. She said she did enjoy it, but she wants to get better. So thank you.
Who's Charlotte for the people listening?
That's my partner.
So he asked his wife if he can go play, and then he brought his girlfriend along.
I don't have a wife. Don't start with that.
One that she knows about, anyway. They don't know each other.
I had specific, like, what's the word, instructions. You need to mention me on your podcast. you need to not be horrible about me. You need to not joke, and you need to make out like I'm okay.
So there's, but there was no stipulations for us, though.
She did enjoy it, and I got to, I went to Quarry Park, and I actually got to meet Carol Findlay, Katrina, Zoe, and Will. Oh, and I saw Alan from Fellingerry there. So,
and he a couple of weeks ago gave me a hard time for name dropping.
No, yeah, I just wanted to say I saw him when I'm out networking. I'm out doing the hard graft whilst you two are having lines on a Sunday.
What a hero. Anyway, so should we start the news?
Yeah. Bowen, what you got for us, bud?
Well, that ties in.
First of all, have we got any corrections from last week?
I don't know. Do we have any corrections?
I can't remember what I said last week, if I'm being honest.
So. Hey, Duffy, do we have any corrections from last week?
Bowen's correction, doodle doodle doo doo, doodle doodle doo doo, Bowen's correction, doo doodle doo doo doo. Yeah, yes, well, yes, I have, Dennis. I've received a message privately which says, here's a correction for you for next week's podcast. Arrow Valley River Arrow comp are shot 13 under first round, 3 under second round for 16 under. And Chris Brown shot 8 under first and 9 under second for 17 under. So I can't remember what you said, Bowen. What do you say to that correction?
I do apologise. I'm only human. I can't help it. I have an awful lot on my plate. I have you two like goading me every time I do the news. So, yes, I do apologise. As far as you two go, you can both jog on.
So, right. Should we continue with
there are news? Corrections. I apologise, Andrew. I'm sorry, Chris. Blah, 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 blah. I've not just let the whole of disc golf down. I've let myself down. How's that? Is that what you wanted to hear?
And the team.
And the team. I'm sorry in the chains. I'm sorry, Mum. Like, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm such a disappointment. Let's carry on.
Let's move on. Jesus.
Okay. Centre stage for the weekend was the Women's Global event. Now, this was 99 total tournaments across the world that will find one winner. Now, as of recording, the winner hasn't been announced yet, but I'd like to say congratulations to Carol, Zoe and Will for putting on an amazing tournament in England at Quarry Park. And also congratulations to you lot up in Scotland. Now, I think it was Rachel Turton who organised it up in Scotland, but well done. At Quarry Park, there were well over 30 women players playing. And in Scotland, at Bluebell Woods at Dunbar, there was nearly 30. Now, I doubt there's been a weekend this year where we've had that many women playing tournaments. And I think it's great for the sport.
Excellent, yeah, very good. Yeah, you see how he self-corrected himself then? He was about to say has ever played. And then he said, yeah,
So I'd like to say congratulations to all the winners of their age categories. So here we go. Sue Underwood, congratulations. Bella Tate, Zoe Winfield, Katrina Archibald, Carol Findlay, Megan Daly, and Terry Pospoliva. Congratulations. Well done. Speaking about that, there was also a men's tournament going on, the East Midlands Meltdown, at the same time at Quarry Park. And Derek Robbins won the MPO. Now, I feel it is a bit unfair on everyone because he does have insider knowledge about the course. But there was an interesting post on Facebook and he's won in the open category. Now he's won in his teens, his 20s, his 30s, his 40s, his 50s, and now his 60s. He's won an open category event.
If Dennis would have been playing in his 20s and 30s, he could have got that award.
He could have come third in an event.
yeah, that's a pretty impressive stat. Like, I don't know if even the it's pretty impressive. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that's amazing, actually.
He's not in the Hall of Fame for no reason.
Exactly.
And I'm just hoping that this global event has we're going to see more women at tournaments. I think like it is heavily male dominated, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be. I know Duffy, your missus is getting into it, isn't she? And
yeah,
my missus, I'm trying to.
Rounds. Perhaps we could have a female in the chains tournament.
No, I doubt it. My missus ain't gonna be up for that. We could try it. I love you, Charlotte.
He's saying she's not very good at disc golf, though.
I'm just saying that perhaps it's not what she wants to spend her weekend doing.
Well, it's up to her.
Yeah, and I know I give her a hard time. I do love her to bits, like, and she is great. So we'll just leave it there.
Yes. It.
I know I'm a bit of a sap, but who said it matters? Like, but okay, moving on. Right, next Arrow Valley Disc Golf Tournament, the Kingfisher Open, has just opened for registration tonight on the Monday. Now, from what I'm reading, it's already selling out fast. It's the second event, and it's going to be on the 23rd of May, and £6 to enter. If there are still places when this comes out on Thursday, sign up, because the first event was great fun. It was competitive, but it wasn't too, like, what's the right word I'm looking for here? It wasn't like too full on. Everyone had a great time. Everyone was joking, being friendly. There was some great disc golf being played, and it was a good tournament. They barriered off the course, so there's no worries about, because it is in a park, there's no worries about the locals getting in the way. It will just be another great tournament. Unfortunately, I can't make it because on the 22nd we're at Longford, but it should be all right, to be fair. Like, we're hoping for a good turnout.
Excellent.
Right, we're going on to sort of overseas news. There were two tournaments on at the weekend. There was the Goat Hill Open, and that's and well done to Ricky Wozocki for winning. But Duffy's favourite player, Brody Smith, he played really well.
He did. Whether Duffy likes him or not, he's got to admit he did really well.
Did he shout scuba or scuba salute after any of his putts?
Scuba. I mean, he did. He did. Throw scuba, I think, on round two on like the first or second hole.
Did he get it in?
No, he did not.
I think there's a place for the scuba. I mean, if you watch our Felling Gary video, I always throw one.
Perfect.
Have a great outcome from it. So, but yeah, he played really well. He was on the lead card for the second and third round, was it, Dennis?
Yeah, second and third round.
And he was tying for the lead at one point, wasn't he?
He after the first round, he shared the lead with Ricky and Eric Oakley, I believe. And then after the second round, he was in solo second place. And unfortunately, in the third round, he had a triple bogey kind of early on and then just really couldn't catch Ricky or Anthony Barella. But he played decent, I think. It shows that with practice, with hard work, and with drive, that you can go from being an amateur a year ago to being, I'm going to say, a top 25 level pro.
Hey, but
it does come back to the fact he spent years of playing Ultimate Frisbee. He's one of them wankers who could just transpose the skills across.
He can. He's a natural athlete. And throwing an ultimate frisbee and throwing a disc golf disc is similar, but there's a lot of things you have to take in consideration. And obviously, we have a bunch of people that listen to us that used to be ultimate players and then now are playing disc golf. And let us know what that transition is like. Is it hard? Is it easy? Yes, you can throw a disc, but now you have to really understand how discs fly more than just an ultra star.
That's probably a hot take coming up, because I hate all them people that are great at disc golf after just coming to it. That's probably a hot take. Convince me why you deserve to be in the sport. That's a joke. I'm only joking.
You're so funny.
Thank you. Right, we've got the other big event was the Huck Central event in South Carolina in the USA.
You dumb idiot.
Chris Dickerson won at 36 under and Paul Macbeth tied on 36. So I'm guessing that he lost the playoff. You know me, I don't pay that much attention to it. So maybe one of you two can confirm or deny.
I didn't even know that tournament was going on, so I have no idea.
Okay, that's it. That's it. That's it for the news. Done and dusted. Another shambolic episode over or segment over. Let's move on.
All right, so moving on. Thank you, Bill, for giving us the news like you always do. This week is just kind of a short week. We really wanted to talk about the Phil and Jerry trip. Phil and Gary. Why is it Jerry? Phil and Gary trip. I can't talk today. But
just one of the today.
Well, normally I do really well.
It is his second language, in fairness.
Look, you just gave us.
Duffy, you technically aren't wrong. English is my second language.
American.
Oh, he's German today. He's German today.
Yeah, I'm German.
He's not American. He's German.
Can you speak any German?
Huh?
Can you speak any
Scheiße.
German?
I can speak in German, but there's no point in doing it because none of our listeners listen in German.
No, please. I would like to put this to the test.
Say so in the Chains podcast in German.
I don't want to.
In the Chains podcast is
he
the best.
Can't do it. German. He can't do
he
it.
He doesn't. He's tried to. Playing Billy Big Bollocks.
I don't perform well under pressure. Plus,
you don't speak German. That's why.
It doesn't matter. None of our listeners can understand me anyway. If I did, it
doesn't matter. We can Google Translate it. Come on.
Anyway, we talked about Phil and Gary, but the thing that we have coming up here in a couple of days is that Duffy and I have a tournament. Yep. On Saturday, and then Bowen has a big tournament on Sunday. Neither one of us have ever played Croydon, so it should be pretty fun. Duffy, what are you expecting going into this round or into this tournament? Do you have any aspirations? Are you nervous about anything? Let me know what your thoughts are.
I'm kind of expecting sort of like 18 holes, probably 18 pads as well. quite a few players there with bags with discs in, sort of throwing and trying to get him into the basket, really. About you?
He's such an idiot, isn't he, Dennis?
Oh my god, so I'm just thinking, like, man, people really think that we have a well-prepared podcast and we know exactly what we're talking about. Like days like today when we're trying to make it up on the spot and he gives me a dumbass answer like that.
Does that help?
It doesn't help at all. I have no idea how to keep this conversation going. You were supposed to like give me some information.
Yeah,
are we just in it to stitch each other up? Are we? Is that what we're going for now?
Effectively.
that is our bread and butter. That's what we do.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. I really like playing new courses. The only downside to that is. At some point, we're going to get to a point where we've played most of the courses that are within sort of easy reach of us. And
yeah,
there's not going to be any new ones to play. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Looking forward to meeting everybody who we've met at other tournaments and say hello and meet up with those guys again. And just hopefully I play well and see what happens.
Go ahead, bud.
I was going to say, now that you've sort of settled into tournament and that, what's your sort of like performance expectations? So this is to both of you.
My issue is my putting, and it doesn't seem to matter whether I go in and I practice putting for an hour beforehand or I don't practice putting. It's either my putting's all right on the day or it's crap on the day. And it doesn't seem to be anything that I can sort of change it should it not be what I want. So I kind of just go into it and hope that my putting's on point and see what happens, really. about you, Dennis?
Well, because this is a course that I haven't played, I haven't seen, I don't really have a disc selection in mind for each hole like I do on the courses we play all the time. So going in blind, just going to kind of play for par. That's my goal. I think that gives me possible birdie chances, but also if I make a mistake, it won't be too terrible. I can still get a bogey here and there and be all right. So shooting for par. I know that the last term we played Horses and Hill at the Wembley Open, I didn't go in with any expectations. I just wanted to have fun, play for par, and then I end up winning. I'm obviously moving up to a new division for this tournament, so I am a bit nervous about that. But I'm just going to go in and just play the shots that I know how to play. I know what my discs are supposed to do. But I'm, like you said, we're going out to see our friends, going out to meet new people and just have a good time. Plus, I do like playing new courses. I get nervous because it's every time that we go play a new course, it happens to be during a tournament where there's a little pressure, right? So you feel like you have to perform a little bit better because you're at this tournament. However, as long as I keep a fresh, open mind and just relax, and I don't put pressure on myself to win or to score really well, I think I'll do just fine.
Because this is your first time playing in MA3, isn't it?
This is my first time playing in MA3. Actually, to be honest, I've been looking at like the BDGA points, and I feel like I'm way behind the curve that I should have started, you know, a month ago.
Yeah, but the amount you're going to be playing, you should be able to pick those points back up, I would have thought.
Yeah, but I feel like a few people in the division are playing just as many tournaments as I am. So we'll see. I think that's the furthest thing on my mind right now. I want to be able to shoot consistently at the level that I think I should be playing at, if that makes sense. It's when I'm not consistent that's when I get frustrated, when I make a mistake that is something that I don't normally do.
Yeah. I get you. Should we move on to my question?
I was going to say, sort of picking up off what...
That is under the air for about half an hour.
I know. Sort of picking up on what Dennis said, like what's the most enjoyable aspect of the tournament? Is it the actual competition or is it getting out and meeting people? And what is it for you two?
Well, I don't like strangers personally. They scare me. I do like meeting new people, but I like there. I think there's Duffy and I have met kind of this core group of people that we hang out with at these tournaments, and they've become what I would consider pretty decent friends, pretty good friends. And I like seeing those guys and gals and hanging out with them after the round, and it's the round after the tournaments that have been the most fun, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've enjoyed those.
I do like the competitive side because I'm naturally competitive. I like to try and win or to have that competitive nature. But I've learned that when I try to be too competitive and think I'm going to win is when I do actually the worst. So I just start going now with an open mind.
I would say the tournaments that I've played so far, I've played three, and every one I've really enjoyed. There hasn't been a bad aspect to any of the tournaments that we've played, something that I haven't enjoyed. Every single one, I've enjoyed it from start to finish, whether it be the tournament itself, the card mates, the sort of camaraderie amongst a group, the having laughing a joke, at playing, meeting new people, people coming up to us and saying, I introduce themselves and having a chat to those guys and girls. And I would say it's I just look forward to the day. I really enjoy going out and playing and all aspects of it, really.
Yeah, it's a fun day out. So that's us for Saturday, and then on Sunday Bowen has his big tournament. So what are you doing on Sunday, Bowen?
I'm in the Quarry Park Amateur Open. I am, so the single day event. It's going to be good. It's my favourite course. It's the course that I know we all know very well. I went and had a little recce on Sunday, and I scored a plus 12 on the red tees. And I have a feeling that's about what I want to aim for per round in the actual event. So I came out on fire, and I think I parred like the first five holes.
That's good.
But then I did have a couple of holes that let me down, but it's something that I feel like I can pick up from. But then when I'm playing a tournament, there will be the odd loose shot anyway from pressure anyway. So I don't know. We'll just go into it. Because I get frustrated with myself when we're playing rounds together, don't I?
Yeah. I think it's like little things that you mess up on get to you, and then you get down on yourself. You always find little things that's wrong with every shot, whether it's, oh, that's too short, even though that disc flew out nose down, perfectly straight, didn't hyzer out, but you'd be like, oh, it's too short. Or, you know, you always find a bad thing to say about your shots, where you never find a good thing to say. And I think when you keep bringing up that negativity, as you make mistakes, now that negativity compounds and gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And that's something I need to work on. So, I'm hoping for a good tournament.
I think many people, not just us, but many people can always try to improve the mental aspect of the game. Because we all think about the competition is about how well you throw the disc, but it's also how well can you keep your mind focused on what you're doing.
I'd say this sport, a lot like the others, is probably 50% mental, as far as it is 50% mental game compared to 50% of physical, because you can be the best thrower in the world, but if you can't have that mental aspect.
I'd say it's 50% skill, 30% mental, and 30% lucky.
That equals 110%, Dennis.
I know. you're just pulling some random number. Yeah, well, 50%, it's 50%, it's 50-50. So are you excited? Are you looking forward to it, though?
I really am. Home course, first tournament at my home. Well, same home course. First tournament.
It's your home course. No, it's absolutely your home course.
But I've got Arrow Valley as well, which I'm part of as well. So I can have two joint home courses. Let's go there. I
mean, we're technically also members of Manchester, but you're not seeing us. That's not our home course.
Yeah, I suppose.
Coral Park more than any other course in the country. So I would say it's definitely your home course.
I'm really looking forward to that. I'm in a MA4, and I think I can do all right if I keep my mental head on. Yeah, and I agree.
If you play like you played on Friday, you're going to do great. So just remember that. Look at the positives. I wanted to come and like either caddy for you or help out the tournament. Unfortunately, because of work, I have to be somewhere on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I will be rooting you on spirit and watching you, watching the live scores as the day goes on. But I really wish you well, and I hope you do good.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks.
Duffy's
sitting in silence. He don't give a shit.
Duffy fell asleep.
I just think it's more material for the podcast if you do shit. So,
well, I think he can only go up from last tournament.
Yeah,
I can't do any worse than that one, can I? So,
God, I hope not.
Right.
All right. So now moving on to the segment that we haven't had in a long time yet. Duffy has kind of spoiled it. What is Duffy's question?
My question this week is, what disc would you say you're missing from your bag in terms of shot shape? And then this is like a two-part question. What disc would you bring in to fill that gap? We'll go to Dennis first, just because it puts him on the spot and he's really thinking about it.
Thank you, Duffy.
Okay, mate.
I'm not, obviously the discs that I'm missing from my bag are two out of the three that I lost this past weekend. But it's not the physical disc, it's the disc shape. So I wish I had a forehand, but that's a different story. I want a disc that I can throw flat and straight.
Yeah.
And then late it turns right. Right. Does that make sense? So it's like
so it glides, then turns effectively.
Exactly. Yeah, it has that late turn before it finishes.
Right.
Is that an understable disc that you're talking about?
No, I don't know what it would be. I think it's yes, but I think it has to be like a certain disc. But I want a disc that can go straight for, let's say, 70, 80 meters, and then start to turn right if I throw it on a backhand,
yeah,
and then finish left. I would love something like that. I think that's missing. And yeah, that would be the one disc shot shape.
So what, if, do you know what disc would do that?
I don't. I feel like it's definitely a disc that I don't have. So I don't know if like, cause that new CAC Z that I put in flies so straight for me the whole time and then finishes. I don't know if I have to put that on a little bit more power to get it, but I want, like I said, I want it to go straight, turn right, and then come left. That way I can move it that way. Does that make sense? It's almost like a long forehand that finishes to the right, but that has an anti-skip.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Byron?
I'm just trying to think. I seem to have a large amount of overstable putters and approach discs and overstable mid-ranges for my forehands.
Yeah.
Now, I have the, it's a Meteor that's understable. But I don't know if I really have like a sort of straight mid-range.
Yeah.
What would you, is the buzz is fairly straight, isn't it? Would you agree?
The buzz is stable. The buzz is going to go on whatever angle you put it on. Even if you throw it flat and straight, at the end, it's still going to go a decent ways to the left. I don't, maybe the Comet goes straight the entire time.
Yeah.
I think what happens though is a lot of our discs as beginners have a high glide, which leaves them up in the air longer. So when the rotation of the disc slows, they finish hard. Where I think
with
a little less glide, it doesn't have time to finish out and it can go a little straighter.
What would you suggest for that then, Dennis? Because we know you're at least disc craft, so we know you'd know a disc craft disc that would do that.
Maybe, like I said, maybe the Comet for a mid-range. I think when you get to that, you look at the numbers and you really have to go with plastics. So like I had that old Jawbreaker Zone that was beat in, and I knew that one would go straight a little to the right and then only finish if I put it too high. So I really don't know. That's for the community to let us know. I think this is where, because there's so many discs and so much plastic out there, it's hard for us to really know what every disc does without throwing them. And there's no way that we can all go throw, all the discs.
I may have figured out my own issue because I haven't picked it up yet, but I've just purchased stuff for someone. Thanks, Nathan. A Mako 3. Now that is a straight flowing mid-range.
Yeah, we'll have to see when you throw it. Because again, I think
it probably won't go straight for me.
I'm not saying just for you. I think it depends on who the thrower is, what the technique of that thrower is, to see if we can get these discs to do. What about you, Duffy? What's a shot shape that you wish you had?
Something. Good question. I didn't really think it was going to come back on me.
It's your question. It's a good question.
Maybe it's his wife's question.
Maybe something. Something along the lines of yours, maybe, or something like a 3 or a 4 speed putter that I can throw as hard as I can, and it just stays straight without turning over.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've got a few discs now, which potentially that could happen, but still turn over just a little bit if I throw them at full speed. So something like that maybe, or something very similar to yours where with a late turn, like a sort of a predictable, reliable turn.
Yeah.
To do it. Just for those ones. For the same reasons, really, that I haven't got a forehand. So it just gives you that little extra being able to get round something that goes left to right.
Without having to put it on an Anheuser.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that disc exist, though, that you're both talking about?
I have no
idea.
Does it
physically exist?
Don't know. Again, that's for the listeners to let us know, because everybody else is way smarter than we are on this. So anyway, that's going to be the end of this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed us making it up on the spot again, like we always do. But that's really it. We got some big things coming up. Please go out, check out our YouTube videos. We got fly-throughs of 3 different courses now. We have our own fun little round. All 3 of us have tournaments coming up in the next couple of days and throughout the rest of the month.
We've got more videos in the pipeline that we're going to be doing. So just make sure you subscribe. It really helps us out, and it also enables you to see when the videos sort of drop. And get sort of first access to them.
Hey, I can finally say, leave us a comment.
Yeah, it actually works now, Dennis.
Leave us a comment somewhere on if you like the podcast, if you like the videos. We are going to plan to do some new stuff. Right away, the videos aren't going to drop as frequently as the podcast does. We are still a podcast, but we want to give you guys some visuals, have some fun. So it's going to be a good time. Bowen is itching to interrupt me during my outro. What's Bowen?
I don't know what you're talking about. I was about to say, we all still have day jobs, though, so it is kind of hard to fit everything in. But I genuinely wasn't going to interrupt. I was just trusting myself.
Okay. All right. Fine. I screwed up my own outro. But yeah, that's this week's show. Thank you guys again for listening. And I think next week we're going to have a nice little surprise for you. So stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Like always, remember, keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Until next time, keep it in the chains.